Yes. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the best football podcast on planet Earth. Today, we've got the transfer window special. Joining us today as well is Australian mate, Kieran. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad, mate. How are you?
Terrible. We recorded this episode and then my computer, my laptop decided to crash and now both our earphones have died and Kieran is literally living life on the edge with 10% and 8% on your both iPad and iPhone respectively. So again, we're going to rush a bit through this one now because it's taken us about 40 minutes to go through half. So instead of making it an 80-minute long podcast, which I think nobody really wants to listen to, we're going to try and make it about 30 to 35 minutes long. All right. So what we're going to do, quickly explaining what we're going to do, we're going to talk about all the Premier League clubs, rate their transfer window, and talk about the ins and outs of their players moving in and out of the clubs. So starting off alphabetically with Arsenal, Kieran, your thoughts on their transfer window?
Right, they're a decent window. We're getting rid of a few players. Didn't bring in any names, but I think they got rid of the players that they needed to. So it's an all right window. What about you?
Yeah, I think it's a decent window. I mean, they got rid of Aubameyang, yet didn't get a replacement. I think we talked about it in the episode that will never see the day of light. They needed a striker, missed out on Vlahovic. So pretty poor in that regard. But then again, they've got lots of scoring players that can score. Odegaard, Maitland-Niles, my man. He doesn't even play for Arsenal and he's a right back. Martinelli, Smith-Rowe. Those players could do very well. But again, Lacazette, pretty decent striker, but it's missing some chances as well. Kolasinac needed to leave. So that's gone. Paulo Mari's left, not really an Arsenal player. And Chambers leaving to Aston Villa, interestingly, on deadline day. So I rate it 6 out of 10. How about yourself?
I said a 5 out of 10.
Solid 5 out of 10. Yeah, obviously, Aubameyang. Good that he's left. Not sure if that is confirmed or not, but he will never play for Arsenal again, I don't think. So we can pretty much put that in the out section anyways. Aston Villa then. Exciting transfer window for them. Got in Steven Gerrard. After they sacked, what's his name? The guy that's at Norwich now.
Sean Deutsch.
No, it's not Deutsch.
The other one.
Fucking
no. How do I fuck that up? What's his name? Oh my God, I actually feel like a spastic right now.
Holy fuck.
No, I know what his name is. Oh my God.
Huh?
Why did I say Gross. Sean Deutsch?
Oh, it's
Dean Smith.
Smith. Yeah, how can we forget Dean Smithy?
Mate, I thought I got it wrong as well when I said Dean Smith. I almost said Mike Dean.
Imagine getting Mike Dean through the door. Anyways, so Aston Villa, good. Chambers, obviously from Arsenal, good solid backup, I guess. We talked about Digne as a world class left back, getting him through the door for 30 mil. Obviously, also Felipe Coutinho. Right, big names through the door at Aston Villa. Yet the best midfielder, the biggest name they got through the door is obviously Steven Gerrard. How do you think he is going to do? As obviously he already did pretty well.
I think he's doing brilliant so far. And with this window as well, as I said in the last recording, is that I think he'll be backed by the club and the fans more based off this window because I think he's had a decent one to be fair.
Yeah, that is also, a club close to your heart is obviously Chelsea. There was no expectation when Frank Lampard obviously signed because they had a transfer window ban. But now, obviously, when he did sign the big players, he got sacked after 6 months. Do you think this, obviously, they're both different managers, but does this put more pressure on Steven Gerrard to do even better signing the likes of Philippe Coutinho and Digne?
No.
You don't think so?
Nowhere near. I think he has had time, unlike Lampard, where fucking Gerrard was at Rangers for quite a bit, whereas Lampard was at Derby for like a season, 2 seasons, I don't know. Yes. So I think he's taken this role because he could have easily just waited for Liverpool, right? But he's gone to Aston Villa, and I think he's going to make a difference there. And I think signing these players, 30 million, whatever. And you can see he's already got rid of Target, as I said in the last one, big player for me. El Ghazi as well. So I think he's got stuff under control. He's come in. He's already made an impact, and I think he's going to make a bigger impact by the end of the season.
I mean, they are sitting 11th.
Which is good for Aston Villa.
Yeah, then again, 10 points behind Arsenal, 10 points behind number 7. What are their objectives, so to speak, for the end of the season, right? Because they brought in big names. And Coutinho, I think, was a six-month loan, right? So why would they make such a transfer for 6 months? I know Coutinho scored against Manchester United recently. But still, there's not really anything they're fighting for necessarily, right? Maybe FA Cup or something like that, domestic cups, maybe. But then again, that's a bit far-fetched, maybe. What do you think?
Well, I think this season, I don't think they're going to be fighting for much. Because, what is it, 8th place? No, what is it, 7th place is 6th and 7th? No, 6th or 7th. Do they get the, what is the other Europa League? Conference League.
The best
is
that league.
6th and 7th?
I think it's only 6th.
Is that 6th and 7th, right?
No, I think it's only 1.
Yeah, so I don't think they're going to get. And if I think it's just maybe setting them up for next year, maybe. But yeah, I don't know. I'm sure Gerrard has a vision, and I don't know how long his contract is, but I think he's going to probably last it out until maybe that Liverpool job comes up.
Yeah, and I also think that maybe that's why they loaned out Target, because I mean they're not really fighting for anything. Therefore, having that much squad depth is not necessary. Right, and Newcastle are not really a threat for Aston Villa either at this moment in time. So I think overall, pretty good window for Aston Villa. 8.5 out of 10 for me. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'd say it's an 8. Solid 8. Maybe even a 9.
The one transfer that out that did surprise me was Wesley. Now, obviously, I remember about 1.5 seasons ago, he came in from, I think it was Club Brugge, and he was scoring a couple
off.
Of goals, right? And then he got injured, so to see him leave was a bit strange. It didn't come across for me that he left. But
well, that's why I didn't get El Ghazi. I mean, El Ghazi was all right for like I think it was towards the end of last season for like I don't know the last few games.
Yeah, he scored 10 right. goals.
It was him and who was it? Who was the other winger?
Grealish,
Traore,
Bertrand
Traore. I think was it Aston Villa? Yeah, I think.
Yep.
Him and, yeah, I think they performed quite well. But yeah, obviously they're gone. That's why I'm so surprised by Target. Target's a good player for me in my eyes. And he's gone. But I mean, you brought in Digne. Fair enough.
I mean, and again, I mean, El Ghazi fighting against spots for like Buendia, Leon Bailey, Trezeguet, you know. And the same for Wesley. Like, he's fighting for the striker position, whereas Ollie Watkins and Danny Ings have been bought in last summer. So it kind of makes sense in a way. Then moving on to Brentford, they also signed a Philippe Coutinho kind of player with Christian Eriksen on a permanent deal. What are your thoughts? Do you think he will fit in well?
Nope.
No? You don't
I don't think it's gonna. I don't think he's gonna have the same impact as Coutinho. Coutinho, I feel like Coutinho will fit the way that Aston play. I said this in the last one. The way that Aston Villa play football, whereas I feel like Brentford's a lot different to the way that Eriksen would have been used to, especially at Tottenham. Tottenham is a very creative midfielder, and I don't feel like Brentford use that as much. I mean, he'd be great for like their set pieces and stuff, but I don't see him making a big, big impact in the way that they play football.
I mean, I think he brings in a lot of experience.
Yeah.
I feel like he's played in the Premier League for Tottenham for like 5+ years. Yeah. And I think he's one of those players which Brentford don't really have, you know, a creative midfielder.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't think it's like I said,
but that's because they play wing backs. But then they play a very like flat midfield. So that's why I'm very like, I mean, it opens them up to playing a little bit more creative football. But I don't know, I feel like it doesn't suit them as the team, the way that they play.
I think he would get along with the manager, Frank, what's his face? Both Danish. And I think if there was one club, apart from maybe Ajax, I mean, the Dutch media were like wanting him to join Ajax again. I feel, Ajax obviously have Blind, who has the same kind of heart problems which Eriksen has. So he has to play with that little thing he's got in his heart. So they were like saying that would be a logical move. But Brentford, I think Eriksen has a lot to prove, right? With the World Cup coming up, he wants to go there. So he's only motivated, really. And for Brentford, I think that could be a real good signing. Despite the fact they signed Eriksen, pretty poor window, won't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't do much, but...
Again, did they have to? Maybe not so much.
Yeah, it's sort of, you know, it's not bad, it's not great. It's that type of 14th for Brentford ain't bad. I mean, but they have played more games than other clubs below them. So, I don't know, we'll see. We'll see if Eriksen does make an impact.
I don't think they would get relegated. Anyways, so solid 4 out of 10. For me, for Brentford, 5. Maybe.
I would say 3.
3. All right, moving on to Brighton then. They signed 2 players who they loaned straight back out. Undav and the Polish guy, Kozlowski, for 18 million. We spoke about this, but obviously the listeners won't know. But we said decent signings for the future. But Brighton don't really have to worry about relegation. Plus, they don't really have to fight for... the European spots. So I think they were just chilling and thought, you know what, these guys look good. Let's get these. What do you think? I mean, they got rid of players. You want to talk about them?
Well, yeah, I mean, what's it? Dan Burn to gone to Newcastle, sure. But I think, yeah, Brighton, they don't really need to do anything. Like, sitting above mid-table, like for Brighton, that is very good. They've played quite well this season. So I don't see them needing to change that much. And as you said in the last recording, they've brought in players for the future. So I think that's good business from Brighton. And if they are going to bring in anyone big, I think they'll just wait till the summer.
Yeah, and again, they don't have to make any big panic buys. You could argue that Burnley might have done that, which is our next team. Quickly going to rate Brighton's transfer window. What are you giving them? I think just a solid 5.5, maybe.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, 5.5.
Then Burnley obviously sold Wood to Newcastle. Interesting one.
Yep.
Both fighting relegation. Obviously, Newcastle are 16th, or was it 18th, and Burnley are 20th. Only 3 points separates them. What do you make of the transfer? Do you think it's a good deal? And who do you think is the real winner? Is it Burnley or is it Newcastle?
I think Burnley got a big W out of this. I think selling Chris Wood for 30 plus million and then bringing, I don't even know his name, Workhorse or whatever, same shit, for half that price, who I would say is a better striker. So I think that's very beneficial for Burnley. But yeah, judging by the fact that, I mean, Burnley still have 3 more games in hand, and if they win a few of those, if they win them, they'll go out of the relegation zone, hopefully. But yeah, I think Burnley came out on top of this one. But yeah, they didn't spend any more money than they needed to. They made a profit. They didn't need to bring in any other players, in my eyes. Obviously, they're not performing that well, but I think their team has had the same core that it's had over the last few years, like no big changes.
I feel like they could have done maybe with, I mean, they've conceded a lot of goals and they obviously haven't scored that many. They've scored the second least. I think Norwich have only scored 13 goals and Burnley have scored 16. I think it's a good signing, selling Wood and bringing in Weghorst. He was at the Euros for the Netherlands and has been scoring goals, plus 15 goals in the Bundesliga the last 3 or 2 seasons, and was linked with big moves to Tottenham, not as a starter obviously, but as a bench player. And he's 6'6", and Deitch does like to ball it long to the main striker. So I think it's a good signing and a good sell, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yet they could have improved on other parts. Maybe they've just accepted their loss in other ways, right? Because signing someone on deadline day and not signing anyone else in the month, yeah, you could say they kind of fucked. Do you think they will go down? Yes or no?
It's hard because Burnley have stayed up for a while now and they've played exactly the same football for those years. So I don't know, especially with like the signings Newcastle have made, Watford probably going to go down, Norwich will probably go down. Everton just made big signings. I don't see Leeds going down or Brentford. So yeah, I think it'll be Burnley, Newcastle, Watford and Norwich.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it will either be Newcastle or Burnley. I mean, I'm not 100% sure on Burnley, but I think Burnley will be 17th or 16th. That's 17th or 18th, sorry.
Yeah, I can definitely back that. But then again, if Cornet and Weghorst is the dream partnership, they could potentially be out of the mud very quickly. I think if I was Newcastle, I would have probably bought Weghorst over Wood, especially considering the transfer fee they paid as well. But big money moves by Burnley. Chelsea, your club, didn't sign anyone? Didn't
yes, sir.
Sell anyone?
No, we didn't. As I said in the last recording again, Ousmane Dembele was a big target, was a potential signing, but didn't go through. I think just because Thomas Tuchel was a big... he's in favour of Ousmane Dembele's ability. But yeah, as I said, we don't really need... I don't feel like we need anyone at the moment. I mean, maybe some fullbacks, but even then, we've got people out on loan, we've got substitutes, stuff like that. So I don't think it's really needed. And I think our main business will be in the summer when players are out of contract and we need to buy big. So
yeah, I mean, there were two main targets for Chelsea, I think. But even then, they're not really main targets. I think Digne was obviously linked with Chelsea. But Chelsea think just they decided, yeah, it's not really worth 30 million for backup left back. And then obviously Ousmane Dembele, I wouldn't say it was a necessary target per se, because obviously they were only linked with him. I mean, who wasn't linked with Dembele, first of all? But also the fact that, he's been pretty poor. And it would have been like a panic buy, wouldn't it? So what would you rate Chelsea's window then?
I think it's a 5. I mean, I think it's just average. Didn't have to do anything. Didn't panic buy either. Maybe even a 6, just because we didn't actually buy Dembele. So yeah, I think it was a. But then we didn't buy anyone to like replace fullback, so that's why I'd probably go 5.
Yeah, I feel Chelsea could have maybe improved, but then again, looking at the left back options, there really isn't much. Maybe target. But again, he's not really Chelsea quality, right?
I still rate Target or even Matty Cash. Why are we not bringing Matty Cash?
The Polish Matty Cash. Anyways, so yeah, I think a 5 is decent. Not much going on at Chelsea. Yet they didn't have to, right? Crystal Palace signed their lone player Mateta on a permanent deal. Didn't really get anyone out of the club. They were linked with Donny van de Beek. But then again, that signing to us didn't really make sense, right? Considering the midfielders that Crystal Palace have.
I think they were going after van de Beek in expectation of Conor Gallagher going back to Chelsea at the end of the season.
Yeah, that could have... Yeah.
I think that's probably what was going through their head. So if they made the signing now, obviously there was competition from Everton and other clubs. I think... that's why they were probably rumored for them, because they're going to lose Conor Gallagher potentially at the end of the season.
I think he's going to play at Chelsea soon. Very bright future star. I think Palace, not really, like, they're in the middle of the table, not really much to play for. Like a 5, not much going on there. What do you think?
I actually think it's probably like a 3.5 or a 4. I don't really know. I understand that you've made a permanent deal, but I don't know. Was it really needed? I don't know.
I mean, 11 million is not bad. But yeah. All right. Everton, a team sitting way below where they want to be. Zach Benitez, brought in a really good midfielder, now manager, Frank Lampard, ex-Chelsea manager. How do you rate Ewell do? First and foremost, before we talk about the transfers,
I think hopefully Well, hopefully, because it's a club in the Premier League, but I hope he does well. Because he didn't do too poorly for Chelsea, being a fresh manager, and obviously now he's had more experience than he did when he first came to Chelsea, and he's had experience with the Premier League club, so he knows how it goes. He also had to deal with European football in his first season. So I mean, it's I think being at Everton, especially not having that extra pressure, being outside of a top six club, I think he'll do well. And especially, I can see he signed Van de Beek and Ali, so he's got some sort of idea what he wants. So yeah, I reckon he'll do well.
I think from an Everton perspective, I think they should have just let the interim manager, I think his name is Ferguson, have it till the end of the season. Everton fans like him a lot. And then puts less pressure on Lampard. Lampard would have had enough time to get to know the players before the season starts. Right now, he's kind of thrown in there. Not very, like, not whereas Lampard, or Gerrard, sorry, was brought in earlier in the transfer window. So he had some time. Obviously, he has a better squad. I think that goes without saying. And obviously, they are in different positions in the league because Everton, nevertheless, are still fighting relegation, all right? You can't forget. So there's a lot of pressure on Frank Lampard. Only, was it, 4 points in front of Newcastle. So then again, I think a lot of pressure. I think he'll do well, but it wouldn't surprise me if he wasn't going to, like, push them till, like, was it, like, 11th or 12th. You know, he will sit steadily 14th, I think, or 15th. He wouldn't get relegated, but he wouldn't. Not in the next 6 months, anyways, I don't think. After that, potentially. What I was also going to say to you, I'll ask you, is obviously Lampard brought in the big names, right? Havertz, Werner, and then Tuchel came in, did well. But Tuchel never did well with those players, right? So then, surely,
well, I mean, with those players he brought in,
yeah. But like, if you look at the players that,
which player won the Champions League? I forgot. Was it Kai Havertz? Oh,
yeah, but like, okay, apart from that one goal, right?
Who brought the guy out of the academy who assisted that goal? Oh, Mason Mount. Oh,
yeah, but Mason Mount was doing well under Lampard. What I'm trying to say is that
Lampard. Lampard brought in Havertz and Werner. He also brought in Reece James from the academy, Mason Mount from the academy,
Ziyech,
Tammy Abraham, in which we sold 30 mil. Ziyech came from Ajax, who's now playing in decent form. I'm saying these players, Lampard sees talent.
What I was trying to say is that was Lampard kind of disrespected looking back at it now? Look how Tuchel has been praised so much over the last few months.
I think there was a very good switch of energy.
Yeah.
Once Tuchel came in, I think there was a big, big change. Like, it felt weird. Like, as a Chelsea fan, it just switched.
And Tuchel is obviously a bit, I think, tactically a little bit better compared to... Yeah. Lampard.
That's what I mean. Like, Lampard at Everton would be, I think that's a good level for him to get some experience and get some more managerial minutes under his belt. And like, you can see that he sees potential in Van de Beek and Ali, which Ali, you've seen the potential in him. So same with Van de Beek. So if he can bring that potential back out, I think Everton will end up doing.
Yeah. I guess so too. Whilst the connection has seemed to have disappeared, Australia flooding. I'm joking. I don't know what has happened. We'll hail Kieran when he will interrupt me. I hope, if he can hear me soon. One player I thought was interesting. What do you think, El Ghazi? They've got my internet is unstable now. All right, lovely. Nice. What a podcast.
No, it's good now. It's good now. It's fine. It's fine.
So I don't know if anyone can hear what Kieran was saying, nor do I now know if anyone could hear what I was saying. But El Ghazi was a bit of an odd one considering Gray has been playing left wing for most of the season. I mean, it's good squad depth, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, Well, I mean, it's Everton. I mean, I think they need a lot. I mean, it also gives an insight into who Lampard should get rid of in the summer. So, I think it's not bad. And El Ghazi is a good player. So,
yeah, it makes sense. Okay, Everton decent transfer window. 10 out of 10? Rate of 7?
I thought you were going to say 10 out of 10.
No.
I was going to say an 8. I think 8's a decent number.
Decent. I pretty agree with you there. You want to take on the next one? Leeds? Your thoughts?
Well, they didn't bring anyone in, didn't bring anyone out. I think maybe if they brought in a few, I don't know, maybe brought in a defensive player or something, but I feel Bielsa's got a vision. And he doesn't want to impair that vision by bringing just anyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, you asked me this in the last recording, so I'm going to ask it now to you. Do you think Bielsa would stay if they get relegated? Yes or no?
Well, we did have a bit of a debate about this, but after all of that, I'm just going to straight up and say, probably not. When he, because I feel like his whole purpose was to get the club promoted, and now they're in the Premier League. And if they drop, I just feel like, can Bielsa really be, can he really give a fuck to bring them back to the Premier League? No. Like, come on now.
No, he wouldn't be. I would, yeah.
What about you? What do you think? Agreed.
I think what Leeds could have done is brought in players. But then again, I think we said it in the recording, you will never hear, that Bielsa is a picky manager. And Leeds make signings that fit the playing style rather than, for example, Everton, who are just buying big names. But Leeds, nevertheless, are in trouble without signing anyone. Moving on to Leicester City, sitting 10th, not really fighting for anything. Still in Europe, moved to the Conference League.
Yeah.
Not that, I mean, Brendan Rodgers had no clue what the fuck that competition was. Yeah, no signings, like you said. Underperforming, arguably.
I just think it's a lack of form. Underperforming because you look at their squad and it's not shite. Like Madison's been in form recently. He's only one of their players that have been in form. Like him and I'd say Daka and maybe a bit of Harvey Barnes. But like at the start of the season or even in Europe, they do play decent. They play well. I think it's maybe the additional European football that they have to put up with as well. Maybe a bit hard for them.
I think maybe centre-back wise. Defensively, I mean, looking at now, Johnny Evans injured, Bertrand injured, Ricardo Pereira injured, Wesley Fofana injured. Big names. I mean, Soyuncu and I think Vestergaard has been underperforming defensively. Obviously, came from Southampton. So maybe a centre-back loan, big loan, like Joe Gomez, for example, on loan or even on a permanent with an option to buy would have been brilliant, I think, for Leicester City. I think Joe Gomez isn't going to play much at Liverpool and is an Englishman as well. So I feel like that was maybe a missed opportunity for them. Would have really helped them out, right? I think that would have made it a way better transfer window than it is right now. Leicester, I'm going to say pretty disappointed that they didn't sign a centre-back. But apart from that, yeah, they're just underperforming. They still have 2 games in hand. With Brian, they could potentially take over Brian in the league, but still far from Spurs and Arsenal for the European spots. So rate out of 10, probably 4.
4.
Yeah.
Oh, crack. also, I don't know if we went over this with the Arsenal, but at 2:41 PM, Aubameyang went to Barcelona, and at 3:43 the deal was off, and then at 11:13 PM, it was a done deal.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
We're 47 minutes.
But then I haven't found any confirmation that the deal has actually gone through. So.
Oh, he went. It says that he went through for a free transfer.
Yeah, they. What was it? Terminate his contract.
Yeah.
Stupid signing, I think, from Barcelona. I don't know what Barcelona are doing at the moment, but that's for a later podcast episode.
Right. They'll get more players to take wage cuts. right. Moving on to Liverpool. What are your thoughts?
Luis Diaz €45 million. A good player. I haven't seen much of him. I think he's 24, 25 years of age. Not really one for the future, right? If you think about it, maybe. It's a bit like a Diogo Jota signing, but Jota was for replacing like Firmino. He obviously has Champions League experience for Porto, has won plenty of stuff with Porto, plays for the Colombian national team. Yes, I don't really know how to feel about it because looking at it now, you could have signed Rafinha from Leeds as a potential replacement. I think Rafinha is the same age as Premier League experience, obviously. Maybe would have cost around the same price. So I don't know what to expect. I think he's a good player. I don't know how you feel about this transfer, but to $45 million to sit on the bench is, for me, kind of expensive. No matter.
It's a lot of money. Yeah, it's a lot of money for a player to sit on the bench, but I feel like it was a five and a half year contract.
Yeah.
It's not too bad, but I mean, it's also, are they just looking at him to replace, for him to be a replacement when they lose their bigger players?
Yeah. And also, I think it's not really 45 million. I think it's 25 mil plus add-ons, right? Plus 20 mil add-ons. So probably right now it's 20 mil.
It was an initial fee of £37 million.
Yeah. And then plus the add-ons. Okay, so Liverpool's transfer window.
I don't even know, to be honest. It's such a weird one.
I think they could have loaned out maybe Joe Gomez, but then again, squad depth. They got rid of Nat Phillips. Not really know how good he was. Bit of an odd signing. I think he signed like last summer for Preston.
He got like two games or something because Virgil and I think Matip were both out at the same time.
Yeah.
And they only had Joe Gomez, so.
Interesting one. So again, a bit like Leicester. I mean, good squad depth for Luis Diaz. I don't know where to put him. I think a five is fine, right?
Sure, we'll go with that.
I think I want to know from you, Liverpool fans, how excited are you about Luis Diaz coming through the door? Because I don't think he will start over Mane, nor over Jota.
He's just going to be like Minamino, bro. He's just going to sit there and do fuck all.
Right, but I do think Luis Diaz is better than Minamino.
Yeah, so what are they going to, why didn't they like send Minamino out somewhere or something?
Yeah, Minamino was
saving himself some wage budget.
Minamino was set to join Leeds, I think, but because Somerville, youth product, didn't go to, I think it was like some German team on loan, that deal all fell through. But he was supposed to go to Leeds, but that deal didn't end up happening. Right? Anyways. Go by Kieran.
Manchester City?
Manchester City. Alvarez, again, one for the future. Exciting prospect from River Plate. Not really much else to say.
To be honest, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just Manchester City spending money. Go ahead.
Exactly. Manchester United signed absolutely no one. I think it was understandable.
Yeah. Understandable was question. Well, I mean, they spent a lot in the summer. Yeah, I understand that. But honestly, that team is disgustingly shit. Like, it is so bad. I mean, they got rid of Van der Beek, finally. Martial, finally. Diallo and I've seen him. He's actually quite decent. I don't know why they got rid of him, but I mean, sure. I think the fact that they've got rid of those players cuts the wage bills, stuff like that. No one in. I mean, I don't know what's going on at Manchester United. You know, they've got the players, so obviously, yeah, surely they don't need to bring anyone in. But it's just a mess.
Yeah, it's definitely a mess. But they got rid of the players that were rotting on the bench, i.e. the ones that you just mentioned. And what I meant by understandable not bringing any players in because Ralf Rangnick is only going to be manager for another more than 4 or 5 months, right? So for him to bring in players that won't necessarily suit Pochettino's or Ten Hag's style, you know, wouldn't really make sense to for him to then spend a shit ton of money and for those players not to work. Maybe one midfielder. I mean, McTominay. You know how old McTominay is? I found this
actually it's quite old. Like,
not in his mid-20s. Insane, bro. Because I always remember him as being, he's 25 years of age, dude. Like, mad. Like, people.
Problem is, once we get to 30, we're going to look at 25 as young. So,
yeah, but in the footballing world, right? And like, McTominay is like Lingard. They always, he's a bit like Lingard in the fact that
always young.
Young youngster who is supposed to be like insane.
And Neymar
is always the one that, you know, especially with Lingard, it was always the meme. Give him another, like, he's got potential in the future, et cetera, but Lingard is almost 30 as well. So McTominay is one, I think, who you should probably leave United. He's too old and probably won't improve much more. I mean, I would understand if he's 21 that you give him a shot, but yeah, he's a bit stinky. Anyways, Newcastle United spend 102 million euros in this window. You go and talk about their transfers.
I actually liked the look of it because you can clearly see they've got money to spend and they haven't spent it on just big, big names, which I kind of appreciate that they haven't done. Trippier, I thought, was a good signing, even though he's like one of his first games they lost in the cup. I found that funny. Target on loan, great player, honestly, rate him highly. Chris Wood, questionable. As you said before, I think they could have just stolen Burnley signing for better value. And Burn, I think they could have gone out and found a better centre-half. But, I mean, by Newcastle standards, before the money came in, if they signed Burn, you wouldn't be complaining. If they signed Wood, you wouldn't be complaining. Like if you didn't have that stigma of the money just sitting there.
Yeah,
and then I don't know much about this Grimamares guy.
Guamares. Burn was signed on deadline day. I mean, there were talks with him, with Diego Carlos from Sevilla, Sven Botman from Lille. But Lille didn't want to sign in this transfer window. So those were obviously two bigger names, better defenders. But Burn is just a solid Premier League centre-back with experience. Boyhood, was it his boyhood club? So, I mean, it was a third option. Just still, you can see that they aren't the biggest club yet. So players don't really necessarily want to sign for Newcastle United. Trippier, good signing. Target, good signing. Guimaraes, good signing. Good CDM. Would have liked maybe one more midfielder in there. Attackingly, Lingard, maybe. Would have been a good option, but they couldn't get
that's what I was going to say, but I reckon we wait to the end and we just like say a few names that maybe should have been signed or moved on loan or whatever.
All right, moving on then. Okay, so they obviously got rid of Longstaff on loan and Hendrick on loan to QPR and I think Mansfield or something for Longstaff. Decent transfer window for me. Slightly overspent on Wood and Burn. But for the rest, I think decent, right? A 7 out of 10?
Yeah, I would say it was an 8 for me.
Do you think with these signings they're going to stay up?
I'm not too sure. It's a bit too early for me to tell. Depends how they fit into the system, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
If Burnley stay up, I think not. Newcastle will go down. If Newcastle go down, if
Burnley go down,
then Burnley. Yeah.
I mean, for the listeners, what Kieran is saying is that Norwich will be relegated because you did mention that in the last recording, but you didn't just now.
And Watford.
Yeah, and Watford, obviously. I just don't really like their signings that much, like Wood and Burn. They're not really going to get you out of that relegation zone, I don't think. They're good signings if you were saying 12th. Don't get me wrong, but I mean,
yeah,
Wood wasn't exactly firing away at Burnley. I mean, they only scored 16 goals, and as far as I'm concerned, my fantasy,
I think
I put in Cornet.
I think those, if you look, what's it, Target, Trippier and Burn all strengthen their back four, which I think really needs help, because the fact that they got knocked out by Oxford or whatever it is, Cambridge. And Red, yeah, you can clearly see that their defence needs working on. So I think it'll add a little bit of a, a bit of an upgrade, or even a bit of experience.
Yeah. Moving on then to Norwich.
Okay. Norwich.
Are going to get relegated.
I can't believe they got rid of Cantwell. I mean, I thought he was a decent player.
Yeah, I think he was someone that I think was praised by the media a lot as well. They even have an option to buy Bournemouth. So that's interesting. Maybe disciplinary reasons, I don't know, that he left the club. Bournemouth are fighting for, I think it's a very good signing from Bournemouth. I think they're fighting for, a promotion back into the Premier League. But I don't know what Norwich are doing. I mean, they are playing very well. I think Sargent scoring goals now. But not bringing anyone in.
I hope they, it's just sad to see. It's like every year Norwich just get bad. Bummed.
They're like a charity for some. Yeah. I mean, not for Watford, but for the bigger teams and the mid-table teams. They're like, okay, come on then. Take 3 points. We don't really care. We're just happy every single time we get promoted, we get £200 million or was it £100 million? So you don't hear us complain.
Easy money.
Norwich are onto something. Southampton.
Southampton, none and none. Brilliant. No signings. Not much.
Yep. A bit not like Leicester. There, really. Bit much like Leicester. Solid. Didn't really need to.
Yeah, they're not. And they signed names at the start of the season, so I don't really see them needing to be honest. So.
Yeah. I mean, there was talks of signing Armando Broya, from Chelsea on a permanent, but he's a strike with potential. But that
never... Well, they've already got a few Chelsea players, so I don't think they need any more. talking of easy 3 points, on to Tottenham.
Nice. Smoothly done.
3 point lane.
3 point lane.
I think they've had a decent transfer window.
I mean, it was kind of funny because me and Kieran were actually going to record a podcast episode about who Newcastle should sign. And funnily enough, Kieran spoke about Newcastle having to sign Target, and they actually did. And I was on about Kulusevski as an option to go to Newcastle. He ended up at Tottenham Hotspurs. And I think it's a good signing. We have an option to buy as well for 35 mil. I think it's a very good signing. Potential is high.
Well, so I watched the all or nothing for Juventus. And when they signed Kulusevski, he just got straight into it. And I think that's what Tottenham need. A player that will just go straight into the starting, or not even starting lineup, but like just get involved straight away.
Yeah. Didn't get rid of, they also signed Bentancur. Not really sure how I'd feel about that. I mean, Lo Celso and Dembele are, I think, both better midfielders. But Conte is also a bit like Bielsa, very specific, and Tuchel, a bit very specific about the players they want to work in their strategy. I mean, Conte, for example, got Victor Moses to be an incredible right back when Juventus became champions. So maybe he sees something that we are not seeing yet. So excited to see how these two Juventus boys will get on. I think Bentancur signed on a permanent deal. They got rid of Ali, necessary. Lo Celso on loan, Dembele on loan. Also a bit of a toxic vibe from what we hear around in the media. And Brian Gill, who has
potential. I think,
so it's good that he's moving
on. I think the three players before Gill are the players that I think Antonio Conte has just gone, I don't want really that type of work rate or whatever in my dressing room. Yeah. I feel like they're the type of players that don't work as much. Like, and Dembele, you saw him if you watch All or Nothing again, when he comes in, he didn't fit in, whatever. And Dele Alli's attitude is just poor, to be honest.
Karen, are you supposed to buy Amazon Prime here, mate? Fucking hell. Prime and Video.
This and this episode of the podcast is sponsored by
We wish. We wish. But anyways, Amazon.
My email.
Jeff Bezos. I wouldn't mind some of your pennies. You've got plenty, mate. but yeah.
All right.
I mean, they missed that on the dormitory, right?
The Watford. Oh, wait, we got to rank them.
Hold up.
Yeah, they did. Everyone they tried to sign, they lost.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Conte is not very happy about the fact that they didn't sign Adama Traore, right? Because he really wanted him. Kulusevski is obviously more of a forward rather than defender in that regard. Obviously, didn't sell Bergwijn. So I wonder how he's going to do now with the signing of Kulusevski, also a winger. Interesting. What do you think Tottenham will finish quickly with these signings, above or below Arsenal?
That's a hard question because that's very hard. I think
guess what else is hard.
I need to look at their fixtures because it's very close, but I think Tottenham actually might finish below Arsenal.
Yeah, I think it's gonna take a little longer for Conte to get things going. And obviously, he only got players when he was like, yeah, our quality is shit, and got rid of quite a few four players.
Well, I've actually looked at a few of Arsenal's games, and the hardest game they probably have is West Ham, because Man United aren't great.
yeah, I mean, you could grab points against Man United. But saying that, now, I mean, there's obviously a two-week break, but prior to that, West Ham were also a team that weren't really firing on all cylinders. Recent weeks.
Also, I've just looked at Tottenham's fixtures, and they've got they've got Man City, they've got Man United, they've got West Ham, they've got Liverpool, they've got Leicester. So, I mean, and they've just lost points to Chelsea, and they got knocked out by Chelsea. So, I mean,
and they got knocked out by COVID in the Conference League. Tottenham to finish below Arsenal, I think, is they'll finish seventh.
fair enough.
Watford,
okay,
straight up relegation. Watford. Bow for Watford. They only spent 14 million, half of that went to the goalkeeper, who they signed, not in this window, but they obviously signed, after the summer window, so I included him, but. None of these names, apart from, for me, Okoye is a similar name, but apart from him, Kamara, Samir, and
Kamara is not bad.
Kamara from Nice, but, I know from FIFA, but again, never watched him play. Kayembe and Samir are also players that I've never heard of.
I think these are just going to be, they're going to be players that they've just accepted relegation then for next season.
Yeah, Okoye is a good player. I'm really excited to see how he will get on. Once his loan spot at Rotterdam expires. He obviously played at the AFCON for Nigeria. So that was a really good signing, I think. But
shout out to one of my high school friends, actually. His last name was Okoye.
Really?
Maybe it's him.
What was it? Maybe. Who knows?
Maybe.
But Watford relegated. Poor window, in my opinion. So not five. Four, three is around.
Okay.
Good.
I'd agree.
West Ham, none in, none out.
Which still is fair enough, right?
All fronts.
I respect it. They're top five, brother. Do they really need to sign anyone? Not really.
I mean, maybe to stay in the top five. I mean, if you look at what Tottenham have done.
I know, but I mean, maybe Jesse Lingard, maybe.
Yeah, I would have liked that.
Because they're playing. They're playing Lanzini, and I don't remember the last time they've been starting Lanzini since like 3 years ago.
And Lanzini has actually been pretty well.
Yeah, he's been playing well. I mean, but he's all I've always found him a good player.
Inconsistent.
But starting lineup, I don't think you can really fault. I don't think there's many options that you can change there besides Lanzini, maybe. Yeah, that's it. Bowen's on form. Antonio's on form. Four nows ain't bad. Rice and Suchek. The back four is fine, stable. I don't see much you can change there, to be honest.
Yeah. Maybe they could have gone for Digne. But then again, Cresswell is a good left back. I mean, he's injured right now, so Masuaku is filling up that spot. West Ham maybe could have done with one or two signings, in my opinion, still in Europa League. So maybe that could see them drop off. But I don't think they are playing in the Europa League as of right now because of the new whole Conference League thing.
Well, the thing is, I don't think they're going to stay in the top five because Arsenal still have two games in hand and Tottenham have three. So,
yeah,
I don't think.
But then again, Tottenham do play West Ham, right? Like you said. So if Tottenham, if West Ham get 3 points, is that very important?
And I'm pretty sure they also play Arsenal. Yeah, they do. They play Arsenal at home. So, yeah, it would be good to watch the end half of the season.
Yeah, probably the most exciting
of the season
is top four spot. Because like you've got four teams right now going for the top four spot. Because United are
Chelsea always flop every single always around December New Year's period. We always flop, and then even when it was when Lampard was in charge, it came down to the last game where we had to beat Wolves, and I'm pretty sure Mason Mount scored that free kick and Giroud scored, and that's what put us through. But fucking, it always comes down to the last game week. I swear.
Are you nervous?
Well, I mean, we were doing so well. Like, we were so high at the table. And then we've dropped down to third. Yeah. And we're behind City by 10 points. And they have a game in hand. So, but it's also, we got fucked by COVID. And everyone else got postponed games except us. I felt like the world was against us at that point. I know everyone says that when that happens. But it generally felt like we had a game like every, like, 3 days or whatever, and we didn't have any postponed matches. But then you can see that Arsenal just say they don't have enough players to put out a starting 11, so fuck it. We had injuries on top of COVID. Like, six players from our starting 11 got COVID, and then James and Chilwell were out.
Yeah, so, facts. I mean, what Conte said was funny as well. He was like, I've never been in a league where, you know, the stakes are very high, and some teams get to get their games postponed, and we don't. I think it's very interesting.
Yeah.
I think in the Netherlands, they have a rule that if you have 12 players that can play, you've got to play. So, I think in the Premier League, it's a little bit different.
But then you've also got the teams like Man City, that their last 12 players that they'd want to start could start and still beat most Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, moving on to Wolves.
Wolves
are doing very well. Also, still could potentially reach that top four spot, only 4 points behind Manchester United. Played 21 games, so the same amount as Arsenal. One less or two less than West Ham, and one less than Manchester United. Surprisingly, I would say. I mean, Jose was his name, the manager, Bruno. What's his face? Bruno. He has a bit of a weird. Bruno Lage. Wasn't someone we all knew. And he's been pretty much doing exceptional stuff. I mean, he signed. You want to say his name?
What? Huang.
Huang. On a permanent deal from RB Leipzig, I think. And they got rid of Adama Traore on loan with obviously an option to buy for. Barcelona. Don't really think there was anything else Wolves could have improved. A bit like Crystal Palace. They're not in Europe.
Yeah, they're just
chilling. They just, have to make sure they stay fourth.
It was a good signing. Good signing of Huang. When Huang first came in, he popped off, and so signing him, I think, on a permanent, not that bad.
And especially for, I think the fee wasn't that high either for Huang. Yeah, 70 million euros as well. But not bad.
Yeah.
So, Garen, you wanted to talk about, you just mentioned, players that probably should have moved on, right? Do you want to quickly run through that? Players that you thought should have moved?
I don't have a list, but I was thinking through it. I think players, I was very surprised, actually, because I was going to say Dele Alli, but obviously he went yesterday. But, I think Jesse Lingard definitely should have gone because I think he deserves game time. Van der Beek, he went, but yeah. Who else? Do you have anyone?
I think Bergwijn, not to Ajax per se, Bergwijn. But to like another Premier League club who could have improved the depth of their squad and maybe started with a left winger. I think maybe Brighton would have been a fun one. I mean, they've got Trossard, I mean, but Bergwijn at Brighton, it's not something you'd put together like that, but ninth in the league, could have used him. He would have played plenty of games. I was thinking of Wolves, but Wolves have got Podence and Pedro Neto for them at left wing, right? Some other players. I mean, Ahmed Diallo got his move, who was rotting on the bench at United. Any Chelsea boys you think maybe should have gotten the move? Young youngsters? Not really, is there?
No, I don't think so. I was going to say an old Chelsea man, Alvaro Morata. I thought it didn't. Is he still at? Where is he? Is he still at Juventus?
Yeah, he's still at Juventus. Moves. Oh, was linked with moves to Tottenham at some stage, at the latter stage of the window, and Arsenal, and also.
And even I think I don't know where he is now, but I thought Diego Costa was linked with someone as well.
Yeah, Arsenal. If I mean, if you were supposed to believe what we've been reading, I mean, that's what I read. Diego Costa to Arsenal, but again, was never really close, right?
Yeah. Where is also, this has just popped into my head, where is Tom Heaton? Oh, is that his name?
United.
Tom? Yeah, why is he there? Because, or if he's there, then I think Dean Henderson should go somewhere. Because he's a great goalkeeper, and he's never going to get a start over the current David De Gea form.
Yeah, I mean, United have got four goalkeepers. Dean Henderson was linked with a move to Ajax. Yeah, at the start of the window, because Ajax obviously have Pasveer, Onana, who's leaving, and they're a bit fed up with Onana, and because of the way he behaved with the doping, etc. So Dean Henderson, yeah. I before the recording, I read that Ralph Rangnick didn't want him to leave. But then again, I feel very a bit similar to for him as to the Donny van de Beek situation, where, you know, Rangnick saying, yeah, you should stay, and end up not playing any games. And obviously, the same position is heavily, you know, David Gea is a very good goalkeeper at the moment in this form. So it won't be easy. But again, I don't think it would have made much difference between Dean Henderson and Tom Heaton. Right, and I think I feel for the man, because he is obviously looking at his chances of going to Euros or to the Euros to the World Cup in Qatar with England, and I think they've just been crushed, because I don't think he will get because he's not playing regularly. So I think that is one you which you're right about.
I think there's so many
any odd transfers. Any panic buys, maybe you think, that have happened and occurred in the Premier League from ones that we've spoken about, which we haven't. Maybe I would argue Chris Wood is maybe a panic buy.
Yeah, Chris Wood was a bit. I feel like it was just, we've got money, let's buy someone. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I feel like a lot of teams go into, like, they've got an idea of who they want to buy, like. But I thought Eriksen to Brentford. I heard about it weeks ago, but I didn't think it was actually going to happen. I thought that was a bit weird.
Yeah, that's a bit weird.
But yeah, I think everything else was pretty normal, I guess.
I'm happy that for the players that got a move, that needed the move, that happened. I mean,
yeah,
especially for United, Anthony Martial going to Sevilla. Now Sevilla are pretty good. They obviously got Ocampos
Coutinho
as left winger.
Coutinho getting a move?
Yeah, Coutinho. That was surprising. That was probably one of the unexpected ones, right? Coutinho to Villa.
Aaron Ramsey to Rangers?
Yeah. On deadline day, on loan. Are there any transfers you wished happened but ended up not happening for either a Premier League club or for Chelsea? I don't know. Anything that comes
to
mind?
Chelsea is a Premier League.
Yeah, I know, but like,
I don't think so, to be honest. No, I didn't have much ambition for this transfer window, and I think it's provided a bit. I think it's provided exactly what I thought would happen. I mean, I was expecting Ousmane Dembele to go somewhere, even if it was Chelsea or not. But yeah, I think, and also, what's his name? I can't remember his name. I don't know how to pronounce it. Sorry, Vlahovic or whatever. Vlahovic. Yeah, they went to Juventus. Yeah, I thought that he would go somewhere not Juventus. I thought maybe don't go to another Italian club, but I mean, he probably wants to stay in Italy, which is fair enough. But I thought, move to the Premier League. Why would you not? Why would you turn that down?
I'm happy that Alvaro Morata didn't sign for a Premier League club. I mean, he's a good striker. I mean, I say good. He's a decent striker. I mean, he gets assists, misses a lot of chances, to be fair, that he gets given. It would have probably been a panic buy. I think you could agree with me on that transfer rumor. I don't think it would have suited either Spurs or Arsenal per se. Also think that Barcelona have had a stinky window. Don't really know what the fuck is going on there with that club. Since that Messi left, they've been making kind of odd transfers. You know, Aubameyang, Traore. Like, realistically, where do you think Traore is going to play? They've got right wing, I guess, but his end product is so bad. Like, his dribbling percentage.
They might just do what you do terrible. On FIFA, where in the last third of the game, you just sub him on and hope he does something.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely a threat no matter what, but his end product is a bit stinky. I mean, what is it like this whole season? 0 goals, 0 assists for Wolves. Maybe a player that's slightly overhyped, in my opinion. Not per se by the fans or the media, but by clubs in general. Like,
well, what I thought was weird, I don't know if it happened in the transfer window. Like, it was in a weird period, but Ferran Torres to Barcelona, when did that happen? It wasn't in the summer.
No, it was this window. You are correct.
Yeah, so
that's another right winger, right? He's going to play striker. Like,
yeah, so it's a bit, I don't know, it's Barcelona in a shambles. They've still got Depay. They've still got all these people.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Like, how are they going to fit all of these players in? I mean, they've got Depay, they've got Luke de Jong, who's just like a different player. Then going to sign Adama Traore and Torres. Like, obviously, for Spain, Torres plays in that center striker role most of the time. But again, it just didn't make any sense, right? To sign two right wingers from Spain, and I don't even know if Xavi knows what he's doing at this stage, right? Surely, I mean, look at in what team he played, right, at Barcelona, like technically gifted players, and I'm not saying that they're not technically gifted players. I mean, Adama Traore is very good on the ball, but his end product is a shambles. Like I said, I've been repeating this. 0 goal contributors in, like, it was 18 Premier League games. And then getting in Ferran Torres for 55 million. I mean, where are they getting this money from as well? You know, it's not like these players are, they're going to sell these players.
I think Newcastle could have actually gone for a Adama Traore, because they're playing right Fraser on the right hand side. That makes no sense. I mean, I think someone that can keep up with Saint-Maximin on the right-hand side would be brilliant.
Yeah, maybe Bergwijn, like we've been saying, would have been.
Yeah, even then.
I mean, he's.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, Todd Cantwell was a bit of a surprising one on transfer deadline day, in my opinion. Bright. And Barcelona, I think, are just. Are they even like.
Shambles.
Like, what, like, these transfers, right? For me, they just seem a bit weird because, like, they're not young players, right? Coming through the La Masia or good, exciting youngsters. Adama Traore is like 24, 25. Torres, I mean, okay, he's 21, 22. So he's still got decent years on him. But then again, like, surely they're just going to loan Adama Traore till the end of the season and then send him back, unless he ends in like a world-class season. Just didn't really make sense. I would rather have seen Adama Traore at Spurs as a right wing back, because
they can't loan him out this season because he's on loan with an option to buy, so it makes no sense. Like, I don't know. I honestly have no idea what's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, it's, let us know what you think Arsenal, not Arsenal, Barcelona are thinking at the moment, because we can't seem to make any sense of it at all.
Maybe we should go. Maybe one of the video ideas can be podcast ideas can be rebuild for Barcelona.
Yes, if you want us to do that, I mean, we will do it no matter what you say. Well, it's always nice to get some feedback, right? So I think that's where we're going to leave it. Make sure you follow our Insta, the Offside Insta, on Instagram. And make sure you make a donation to the charity of your choice, because it's always nice to donate. We're not a charity, so Ali can't donate to us. Also, wanted to say that Smooth My Balls, fuck knows what happened to them. You can't buy any more products, so I removed it from the Instagram link tree. But if you want to buy some good products, buy Curing, the most secure sticker thing for your phone, for your wallet, for your things. Thank you very much, Kieran. You want to say anything before we end it here?
No, it's been good to come back on the podcast, and yeah, make sure you get the Instagram for all the football updates.
Yeah, and that is it from us. So make sure you head over to Curing to get yourself the best lost and found security products. Easy as well. And thank you very much for listening. We aren't sponsored yet, but we'll soon be sponsored by Curing. Don't worry about that. So we don't have a promo code. So you might want to wait, or you might not. I don't care. Anyways, goodbye. And we'll see you in the next one. I just forgot to stop the recording.